You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Matt Stevens, color commentator for UCLA football. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to hear it. How's the normally great weather in Southern California?
You know, actually, for us, it's getting a little chilly, but I know it's not chilly compared to Utah. It's down in the 40s at night, so we get a little frigid out here.
All right. Well, that is the reason I ask is I'm intrigued. Do you think weather could have any possible impact, the colder weather with UCLA coming to Utah this weekend?
I don't think it's going to have any effect whatsoever on these Bruin football players. Jim Mora, you know, he has his team not only prepared to play in the elements, it doesn't matter what time they play, but it's nice that the game is at 12:30.
That's a good point. An earlier game will help the temperature, even for those Bruin fans that are traveling who don't have to play. But, well, I asked that more on a jest, but, you know, coming into this game, both Utah and UCLA still have a shot at making it into the Pac-12 title game. As long as both team wins, they can both be there. Is that the ultimate goal for UCLA to win out and make it to the title game?
Well, you know, I mean, everybody's talked about the Final Four, and obviously, I don't think there's going to be any team that from the Pac-12 that's going to be in the Final Four games. Or the Final Four teams. But, you know, winning the Pac-12 championship is always a goal for any Pac-12 team. And to have an opportunity this late in the season is really, you know, what you want. And I think both Utah and UCLA, this is a must-win game. USC is, of course, in it. And, you know, you look at the North with Stanford, Oregon, and now Washington State. So you never know what's going to happen. But, you know, once you enter the end of the season and you still have a shot, that's all you want.
Yeah, it almost seems that there was a lot more respect for the Pac-12 coming into the season than there is now, to where, like, I agree with you, the 2-loss team, or anyone else for that matter from the Pac-12 will probably not be making it into the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, one thing about the Pac-12 this year, I mean, this is one of the, not the strongest years. I thought there were a lot of young quarterbacks. I mean, Stanford was going to be that dominant team, you know, with Kevin Hogan coming back and all those starters on offense. And then, of course, Utah. But this isn't the strongest the Pac-12's ever going to be. But I think going forward in years to come, you know, the Pac-12 will definitely have a say in those Final Four teams.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up young quarterbacks. How, you know, we've got a lot more games under his belt for Josh Rosen. How has he looked as of late, being that freshman quarterback with a lot more game time?
Well, you know, in the beginning of the year, I was comparing him to Troy Aikman, and that's quite a guy to compare him to. And now I'm saying that he's probably the best true freshman to ever play college football. And I know that's a big comment, but once you see Josh Rosen play, his skill set and how he's matured and how he's developed through the season, he could be one of the best quarterbacks, I think, in all across the country, to tell you the truth. And anybody in college football that's a head coach, you know, they would want him on his team. And in fact, he's not a true freshman. He's actually now the focal point of this UCLA offense, where he's been carrying the team on his back. And that's just amazing for a true freshman to play such a complicated position, to come in and have such an impact, and now put his team in position to win on any given Saturday.
I mean, yeah, that's an interesting point. Is earlier this year when we spoke, we talked about Perkins and how the UCLA offense will go after to establish the run first. Has that changed?
Well, you know, UCLA returned all 5 starters on the offensive line. And one thing that's benefited Josh Rosen, he's only been sacked 10 times this year. So he's had the luxury to sit back in the pocket and showcase his skills. You know, UCLA wants to be a balanced attack. They still have Paul Perkins. But, you know, in the beginning of the season, they thought they'd ease Josh Rosen throughout the year. And, you know, they've had to depend on him. But Paul Perkins is the focal point at running back. You know, he had a 100-yard game against Washington State. And also, there's a true freshman by the name of Soso Jamabo that is very exciting. He only had 1 carry. He needs probably more touches, but he's going to be a running back that Pac-12 teams are going to have to deal with throughout the year. But the key for you know, Paul Perkins, whoever's at running back, and Josh Rosen has been the returning starters on the offensive line. And I think that's going to be really a difference for UCLA if they have a chance to win this football game.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of the battle in the trenches, UCLA offensive line versus Utah's strength, their defensive line?
It's going to be the best part about the football game. I mean, the defensive seven for Utah up front, and also Marcus Williams at safety, who plays, you know, close to the box on the line of scrimmage. You know, it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, UCLA is seasoned enough where they understand blitzes. They understand where guys are coming off the edge. And Josh Rosen is at a point now in the season where he's seen about every blitz you can imagine. And it's just going to be man-on-man. I mean, it's going to be a lot of strength on strength and who's going to win that battle. I think UCLA is going to have tough going running the football, but I think they're going to be able to protect Josh Rosen, and Josh Rosen's going to be able to throw the football, and that's going to be one of the keys for UCLA.
Yeah, no, I think the game last week really showed that Utah's defense can be thrown against if you can give your quarterback some time in the pocket, which, as you stated, UCLA's offensive line is up to the task. I mean, ultimately, if you were, you know, having a game plan against this UCLA offense, what would be, you know, the top two keys to stopping this team?
Well, you know, Utah comes into the game with 26 takeaways, and that's going to be one of the keys, because UCLA, you know, they have a tendency to, you know, have turnovers, and also they have penalties, and that's been the problem for UCLA. You know, stepping on their own foot. And also, UCLA was only 1 out of 5 in the red zone against Washington State. I think they can get that fixed. UCLA, I think they were just sort of overthinking what they needed to do with different offensive packages. You know, because if you're going to play against UCLA, one thing you're going to get is a lot of balance. And it's pretty tough when UCLA can run and throw the ball.
Yeah, I mean, outside of the game against Washington State, has scoring in the red zone really been a problem for UCLA?
No, it hasn't been the best thing about this UCLA offense. But at Washington State, you know, it was a problem, and that really cost them the game. They started the football game. They got into the red zone 2 times to open up the game, and they only came away with 6 points, 2 field goals. So that was really the changing point in the football game and why Washington State was able to keep it close and then win in the last 3 seconds. So I think UCLA also now has come out with a more running-type formation. They're doing what Stanford does in terms of bringing in big bodies and just say, hey, we're going to run the ball. You know, go ahead and try and stop us. You know, they're not going to sit in their 4 or 5 wide receiver set. And they still have that capability with Josh Rosen, but they like to, you know, not put – all the pressure on their young true freshman quarterback.
No, I mean, Stanford does it. UCLA is doing it. Utah as well has been one to line up and just let Devontae Booker do his work in the red zone and out. How do you feel Kenny Clark and this UCLA defensive line will match up against stopping Booker?
Well, Kenny Clark's probably the best nose guard, not only in the Pac-12, maybe even in the country. I mean, he's right up there with the best of them. And this defensive line that, you know, lost Eddie Vanderdoes earlier in the year, in fact, the first game, has been a work in progress. But over the last 3 or 4 games, they've really improved. And they have improved with pressure coming off the edge. They've improved at their linebacker play. Jayon Brown, who was a backup at the beginning of the year, has stepped in. He's now the leading tackler. We're seeing the growth of Kenny Young. And a guy that, you know, was just sort of a name for the past couple of seasons, Aaron Wallace is now making an impact on defense. And the good news for UCLA on linebacker, Isaka Saiyi-Naiva might be healthy. And he's a big-bodied linebacker that really knows how to fill the gap. 6'3", about 240 pounds. He sat out the last 3 games with an ankle injury, and it looks like he's going to be able to practice this week and play on Saturday.
You mentioned, you know, UCLA being a little bit better off the edge. Who is it that's getting that pressure from the edge for UCLA?
Takaris McKinley is a guy they recruited last year, and he is 6'4", 250 pounds. And what's special about McKinley is he runs a 10.900. He was a track athlete coming out of high school, and to be that big, 250 pounds, and come off the edge, and he's not just a speed rusher anymore. He's developed a bull rush, also a spin move. So he's given tackles, you know, a different, you know, variety of moves coming off the edge. And that's really helped out pushing the quarterback up in the pocket. And when you get pushed up in the pocket, you know, you got to deal with Kenny Clark, who's driving the center back into the quarterback.
Yeah, and I mean, that pressure, you know, Travis Wilson has shown a tendency at times when rushed to make the bad decision. And that would lead into UCLA's number three Pac-12 pass defense. I mean, do you expect UCLA to kind of bring up some safeties and be a little bit more riskier on their pass defense to stop Booker this weekend?
Well, I mean, you have to do something to stop Devontae Booker. He's my favorite player, you know, in the Pac-12 at running back in terms of, you know, how hard he runs. I mean, he gives everything you have for just that extra yard. You really appreciate watching the effort that he plays with. And he's also the second leading receiver for Utah. And Utah rides him, you know, he's the workhorse on that offense. I mean, he's the guy that they're going to depend on. And it's going to be interesting, the knee situation with Devontae Booker. Is he going to be 100%? You know, they're saying that he's going to be questionable. I doubt he would sit out a game of this magnitude, you know, him being a senior. But you do have to bring up your safeties. You do have to commit to Devontae Booker, and you have to play some man-on-man coverage in the secondary in order to stop him. Or if you just let him sit back, pick holes, great vision, which he has, you know, he's going to find a crease and he's going to take off.
And how do you feel the UCLA secondary will handle some man coverage?
You know, Marcus Rios is one of those kind of guys that has been their lockdown corner. He's been very good this year. Johnson got hurt. He had some neck spasms last week against Washington State, and they hope he's going to be able to come back. Ishmael Adams, you know, he's had some troubles with the yellow hanky. You know, he's been called for holding a few times. You know, of course, UCLA lost Fabian Moreau, their lockdown corner, about the third game of the year. So it's a group that lost probably their best secondary player, but, you know, they do have guys that step up, and this is a very good secondary that plays aggressively. And then the safeties, Randall Goforth, Jalil Wadu, they also have some cover skills.
Okay. I mean, ultimately, Vegas put this game out as what I would call a coin flip, pretty much. Where do you feel this game's going to fall, and do you have a prediction for us?
You know, this game's, you know, with UCLA, because they're the most penalized team in the Pac-12, and they turn the ball over, you know, it's really hard to predict, you know, what UCLA team's going to come out. If they can take care of the football, they can limit the penalties. They're a very, very good football team with probably the best quarterback that's up and coming in college football. So it's really hard to tell. I mean, you look at Travis Wilson, he's a senior. Devontae Booker, he's a senior. This is an experienced offense versus, you know, a young kid that is really doing well against two tough defenses. I think it is a coin flip, to tell you the truth. And I think turnovers and penalties are going to be the key to the game.
All right. Well, we will see. I know Utah fans will like hearing that, knowing how well the Utes have done in producing turnovers throughout the season. Excuse me. Well, Matt, I appreciate you hopping on with us to talk some UCLA football. And hopefully we'll have an entertaining game come Saturday.
You got it. Hey, thanks for having me on.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.